Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This is the Best Hang Podcast featuring Max Kerman, Shane Cunningham, and I am Mike Bierman. Welcome to the Best Hang Podcast. I'm Mike. We got Max. We got Shane. And you know what? Shane and I are together in an edit bay in the building 299 Queen Street West in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. But Max, you're on a Zoom. Where are you in the world?
I'm in the City of Angels, Los Angeles. Down here for a couple of this's and that's. So,
are you still celebrating your birthday over there?
I am.
Happy belated for our listeners,
thank
by the way.
You.
Happy belated.
Yeah. It was a 5-day celebration. I wish it could have gone longer. By day five, though, I was very tired. I was like, don't make me drink again. But I was very delighted to see you guys at the birthday surprise dinner. I said, don't tell me who's on the guest list. I don't want to know the politics of who's coming, who's not coming, who's available, who's going to be sad that they couldn't come, yada, yada, yada. But then you guys were there. So thank you for coming. How did you guys enjoy the birthday?
I'm lucky. I barely made it in. I thought getting into the Omega party in New York was tough. Like, like I got invited by Ash, but then she started saying stuff like, but Shane, I mean, you probably have to get back to Hamilton, right? And I'm like, not really. And then she belabored the issue a little bit. She'd be like, well, you know, Pops is probably your ride. Because we had a table read that day. She's like, Popolis is probably your ride. I know this. I'm like, no, he's not. No, I can get to and fro Toronto to Hamilton easy. I commute every day. And then she asked me another time. So I almost felt like maybe the assumption was I wouldn't be able to make it, but it had to be a perfunctory ask. And maybe there was somebody like more important than me that was supposed to go there that maybe couldn't make it there. And then, of course, I like to demarcate events, and I was taking some photos of you blowing out the candles, and you're like, don't post that online. There's too much at play here. So I'm like, Jesus. Like, it was very under wraps. I think I was invited to one of the five parties. So that was nice.
The dinner was, I will say, the dinner was delicious. Like, that was, what was the place called? Raza?
Raza. Yeah.
Yeah. Raza. Dinner was delicious. Props to Ash, because it was phenomenal. And, you know, the thing about a dinner party, too, because it was like, you know, it was like a table, is seating is everything. And I was I was to the right of you, Max.
You got to sit beside the man of honor.
It was nice. So Max and I really got to, and we had been at a table read earlier that day, so we got to talk a lot about a fun project we have coming up, and then also just life in general. And, you know, it was really, really nice. How did you feel about the dinner, Maxie?
I loved it. I mean, I could have sat next to literally anybody. That's the beauty of it being your own birthday party. But of course, I was pleased, because when you sit next to Mike, you do all the heavy lifting. Like, even with me, somebody who's like a social person who's pretty comfortable talking to anybody, like, you're just like, it, like, I'm like just comforted in your arms. When I think about hanging with Mike at a table, I just think about him rocking me. Just like,
too
just
much Mike praise going on lately. I'll say it out loud. Too much.
Anyway, how was it at your end of the table? Because what is always interesting to me is, you know, when groups of friends come together, and obviously we all know, you've known Book Club Maddie for a long time, but as we know, most of the context of my life is Book Club Maddie and I, and now Ash, just sort of hanging out in a smaller group. And then, you know, just seeing him talk it at you guys, but also I'm sure you were participating as well sometimes, was exciting.
Oh, I had the seat from hell. Yeah.
Well, what was funny was because I think I might have mentioned this. Did I tell you the story about going out with Matt after a movie and we hung out with Al Amin, the CBC Commotion host?
You told me this. Yeah. I don't think Shane's heard this.
Yeah. He has the gift of gab, Matt Fruchtman, for people who don't know.
He does have the gift of gab. And basically, Al Amin had just come from Aaron Sorkin's To Kill a Mockingbird. And then it sort of turned into Matt talking about Aaron Sorkin for 45 minutes as the rest of us just sort of nodded our heads. but Al Amin is, you know, Al Amin and Matt, two peas in a pod. They're very, very similar. And I think Al Amin got off on all of Matt's insights and they're, I think they're friends now. So anyway, how was your end of the table?
Okay. So just the way I was positioned is terrible. I don't know if you know this about me, Max, but I am a frequent peer. I like to drink a lot of water. I'm against a wall. So you guys move the table right up the top. So it's right up against the wall. I'm against the wall. I got Greg Veerman to my left, which is actually good. Fruchtman in front. And then beside Fruchtman is Nick, your bassist. So it's not terrible company by any means. I have to piss constantly. So to leave, I have to crawl under the table.
Yes.
And then of course, you know, Mike's in the joke mode. Mike's so great. So every time I climb under, Mike has to make some comment like, oh, I got to go home with this guy. And then everyone's cracking up laughing at my expense. And so that was a little awkward. And Nick and Matt gotten a little bit of an argument in the, not like a real like yelling argument, but pretty intense over whether the show, The Wire still held up today. So that was like an hour of just bickering back and forth. So then it's me and Greg, and which was fun and funny because Greg at a restaurant is just a very humorous person to be with. Cause he's curious about prices, right? Like how much things are going to cost. And this was one of those places. I don't know how to refer to this restaurant, but it's like a tapas restaurant. Tapas?
Like sharing plates. And it was all kind of like a prefixed menu, just kind of came out. Like it had all been thought through and just
shit
came out.
Just shows up.
Yeah.
And drinks are being served to us. And Greg got this like kind of delightful pink drink that tasted so good.
Some cocktail or something.
Yeah, it was a fancy cocktail that Greg typically wouldn't drink. But when you're out with a Max Kerman event, you kind of have this delusion in your mind that everything might be covered somehow. Like this is all free. I even thought that. Even though I knew we're probably going to have to pay, in the back of my mind, I'm like, we probably got some weird deal. This is free or almost free. So Greg goes to the waitress. Like he's being very sociable with the waitress. He goes, these are delightful. Keep them coming, he says to her. So I go to Greg. Greg, what do you do if you get a bill and it's like over $100? I just go, over 100, which to me is kind of reasonable. But to Greg, I know he'd think that was egregious. Greg's like, oh, you know, it's over $100. He's like, it'd be fine. I would just take the bill and I would just never come back again. I'd pay it and I would just never come back to this place again. I go, that's your strategy. I go, what do you tip on a $100 bill? Like, do you, like, I'm so curious about, he's like, I hate tipping. He's like, I don't do percentages. People try to give me the percentage thing. I exit out and I give my own custom amount. I'm like, oh, okay. So cut to the bill coming. Oh my God. Greg got a bill for $250. The drinks that he were drinking were $22 each.
You didn't realize how expensive the cocktails were. So everyone got around the same price. Reasonable bill. Totally fine. The meal was delicious. The service was great. The drinks were phenomenal. But I was just drinking lager. Like, I'm like, give me the house lager. I always do that in those places. But Greg was like, Greg went for it. And it was like, it was the sticker shock of the bill. But then also comparatively that he got the most expensive bill of the night. He was spiraling.
Here's what killed him though. They did the automatic 20% tip because the table was so big. He's just like, oh my God, he's doing the math. It's like over $45 tip. And he's like going crazy, stewing. He doesn't know what to say. It's your birthday. He wants to like attack someone. So that was like worth the price of admission alone. Even though I was trapped in this weird corner, I couldn't really, you know, talk to the birthday boy, even though you did try to come around and talk to everyone.
Yeah, you did do a good like. Yes. Kind of, you did the rounds, mm-hmm. Maxie, at one point.
It was serviceable rounds. But yeah, it just had me thinking. And I know your stance on this, Max, which is, hey, we're all grown adults. Come on. We all have the money. Just pay it. Don't complain. But what is, just for conversation's sake, is there any obligation to be like, hey, guys, this is a prefix menu. It's going to cost this amount of money. Max is shaking his head no.
I think it's weird to assume that it would have been like comped. I think they would have said if it was comped. For I think it's the other way.
There's no doubt in my mind that it's weird to assume it's comped. Yeah. It's just like almost like a crazy fantasy where you almost don't even want to know if it's comped. And you should never assume it's going to be comped.
Anyone other than our famous friend Max, would the assumption be that? I guess because there's always so many like moments. They know so many people.
No, no. The question is, should it have been broached? Like, guys, it's going to cost $90 for this meal. Just to let you know. I know you're all grown adults who don't care. No, don't. Doesn't matter.
No. Okay. No, I agree with Max on this one.
I think here's the thing. We all have some awareness of what everybody does in their life and their financial situation. And I think there are probably some cases where you're like, oh, so-and-so lost their job or so-and-so hasn't been able to work for a little bit of a while. So it's like maybe you politely mention it kind of quietly. But beyond that, everybody's an adult. And I probably wouldn't ask you to come if you couldn't, if you were worried about eating out, period. It's either like you can eat out or you have to stay at home and make everything at home. But I don't think there's like
you didn't know the list, Max. You didn't know the list. And maybe Ash doesn't know Greg's neuroses as much.
Greg can afford it, though. This is the irony.
He can. But being that way has nothing to do with how much money you make. I know people who are so wealthy who just have this weird like thing about money.
But Greg's habits are so unusual in that like it's not like he only shops at Walmart for a shirt. It's like Greg wears expensive clothes. Like his sunglasses are hundreds of dollars. It's like he will buy a very expensive jacket. And the other thing, and this is the funny part,
because he saves so much on not tipping though.
the other thing which I think is hilarious is that all of us have to spend, I don't know, how much do you spend every day on food when you're out and about? Like, I don't even want to know what I spend on food every day.
Oh,
food,
man. Coffee, I'm the worst ever.
Like, I probably spend $100 a day just fucking around. Like, and
me too. Maybe minimum. Not even, $150 minimum, probably, right? Every day.
Here's the thing. Greg has been eating like fresh, like professionally prepared meals by like the finest of chefs and eating it for free 2 to 3 times a day when he's at work. So he doesn't even have to pay for anything. Snacks, drinks, foods, like coffee, everything. He pays for fucking nothing.
Greg loves the food too, by the way. That's another kicker. The restaurant had phenomenal food.
Yeah. The food was incredible. He flies on private planes and stays at 5-star hotels. That's what he does. That is his entire life, is eating and drinking for free. And staying in 5-star hotels and flying on private planes and not having to stand in line. So it's like, if anybody shouldn't garner sympathy, it's him.
Yes, agreed.
That's the takeaway.
Yep. I don't think you're wrong. I do think there's an argument to be had on maybe the other side that some people might just say, hey, don't, if you make a big deal of it, it's weird, but just tell. But I'm, you know, I'm not staking claim into any.
It seems like you're taking a claim. Well,
after the fact, Mike, we did have a conversation with Greg, and you always want to have some allyship because it is fun. So we were like, yeah, they should have said something. You know, we're like telling them.
It was wildly entertaining in the moment, and then afterward, after we were kind of just hanging out in the restaurant and chatting it up and having a laugh.
This is a topic of conversation with in the group chat with Dan Hamilton and Greg and I. Dan sent Greg a blog TO article literally 3 days ago saying Toronto restaurant locking prices at $13 because nobody can afford to eat out anymore. And then Dan was like, Greg, this is the place for you. And Greg's like, yeah, God bless. We need more places like this. $13. That's it.
Finally. Oh my God. That's hilarious. Well, and then there was, you know, like you said, this was the 5 days of Max celebration. Mm-hmm. There was like a thing the next night. And then me and Shane were, because Shane and I took an Uber back to Hamilton after the dinner or whatever, and everything had wrapped up. And we were sort of chatting, and it's like, are we going to swing back for the Friday? Like for the, you know, because we're like, maybe we can make it happen. But as you know, you said in the last episode, we have children. It's really hard to do a back to back these days.
I also was not invited to the Friday. Full disclosure. Max did throw out a very loud invite to Mike as we were leaving. Like, Mike, you're so great. Comfort me like a baby. I would hate to not have you there. And I'm like, so I don't say shit. But so I was never even in consideration. But however, I did like the idea that Mike would go.
Yeah.
And then just to hear about the fanfare, I'm assuming the Friday's the A squad. Like Nick Nurse is showing up, probably all your literary friends. So I just want to know. I just want to hear through Mike. So I'm like, Mike, you got to tell me who is there. And then shockingly, Mike didn't go.
No.
And I know you have a no picture policy on your birthday because you don't want to hurt anybody. It's like so exclusive. So I'm like, I'm never going to find out about this. Maybe we confront him on the podcast. I did actually get a phone call from Birchall. So I know Birchall was there. Of course, he's like, you know, the liaison to these sort of things. So I'm like, oh, maybe I can ask Birchall who's there. But yeah, Birchall, he calls me, goes, it's like 12:30. So he's kind of lit, I'm assuming. He's like, Shay, you got to settle a debate for me. Okay, this is interesting. I'm like, oh, I wonder if I hear Nick Nurse in the background giggling or something. He's like, Ash says you're better looking than Matt Rife. I say no way. I'm like, I know he thinks this is a compliment, but this is so insulting. So I'm like, no, I don't think I'm better looking than Matt Rife, who's probably like one of the best looking people on earth. I don't feel that way about myself. He's like, see, he's like, yeah, he even thinks that he's not. And then kind of hangs up, but that's all I got. But
that was your one communication from the night.
Yes, which is obviously it's wrapped in a compliment, but it's also an insult because you can see that conversation going down where Ash probably just found out about Matt Rife and is like, I don't think he's attractive. And Birchall's like, really? You don't think Matt Rife's attractive? And then she wants to find out an exaggerated point to make, being like, yeah, Shane's better looking than Matt Wright as like the point of like extreme thing that she doesn't know Birchall's going to call me, but then Birchall calls me. So, you know, that was my only glimpse into that party was that phone call. And I couldn't hear any celebs in the background.
Speaking of glimpses. So for the Friday night, so the next day I went to like the aquarium with my family. We all took the day off because daycares were closed. So we took Birdie. She had to be home anyway. So we went out of school and we came to Toronto for like a big fun sort of day. It was nice. But because I like knew that this Friday thing was happening, I was like, oh, that would be fun. And I obviously want to celebrate my great friend Max. And Greg, the night before we'd all parted ways, was like, yo, he's like, come back to the city. Like, or he's like, go to the aquarium with your kids. He's like, and then stay in the city. He's like, the Raps are playing. I think they're playing the Knicks. He's like, hang out. He's like, we'll go to the game or whatever. He's like, and then we'll both go over to Max's after or whatever. And I was like, remember you saying this before I got in the Uber?
Yes.
And I was like, shit, that does sound good. I'm like, but I don't know. I got to have to temp check the next day. Right. So anyway, we go to the aquarium, awesome time, like just the best time with the family. And we're driving back to Hamilton at this point. But in the back of my mind, I'm kind of like, how do I, can I do this? Am I up to it? I was up late, obviously, at the dinner the last night. And so I don't say anything about the party. And I do this thing as we're driving back. It's also like a fucking rainstorm. So the weather's nasty and we're kind of in stop and go traffic on the Gardner. And I'm like, Greg said I could, come right back after we get to Hamilton and go to the Knicks game. Could you imagine? And Dan could just go.
Wouldn't that be weird?
And Dan just like, she's like, she's just like, are you fucking kidding me? I was, and she didn't say that as in like, you go out for a second. No, it was that you would really sit in traffic for the next 2 hours and then get on a train and come right back to go to the game. And I was like, yeah, I would. And then she kind of had like a look in her face like I was crazy. And I was like, honestly, if I didn't have like kids or like a family, like, of course I would come back for a Raptors game. What else am I going to do? It's a Friday night, blah, blah, blah. But then I was just like, okay, I'm going to park this. And I don't think this is the time to come back and then have another party night on the Friday. So we did. And by the time we did get home and like 2 hours of traffic, I was really exhausted and I was very happy to sit on the couch. But I had a little bit of FOMO, and I was wondering about how the night went down, but I've had no report.
But Mike, the best part was the story when you told me, then you thought about it and told Danica you were joking. You're like, I am kidding.
Oh yeah. I was like, hey, I wouldn't do that. Yeah. Something like
just
that.
Just joking.
And then we went back to, you know, whatever. But she knows. She knows me fucking through and through. Cause sometimes if I call her like at a, you know, 3 p.m, I'm like, hey, how's it going? And she's like, what do you got planned for? Like, what's going on? Like, what came up? What do you want to do? You want to go to a Raptors game? So she knows whenever I'm scheming.
Your
so
schmoopy voice.
Yeah. I think she could sniff out that I was maybe scheming to come back, but it was not in the cards. So Max,
does she ever beat you to the punch and go like, "Hey, you should do this. You should." Does she push you to do stuff, or is she just waiting?
No, what I'll say is she's very like, she's more like, "Don't give me the song and dance. Just tell me what you want to do and let's do it." Like she's actually been super busy because so she was off for a long time, like on mat leave, and so she's back at work. And in her, like, where she works, like, there's constantly, like, client dinners, and they're going to boxes, and they're doing all these social events. So she's actually been very, like, busy. And that's aside from her friends. She'll go, like, Niagara on the Lake with her friends or whatever. So she's kind of, like, her calendar, it feels like, has gotten very, like, more packed. So I'm on, like, solo dad duty, which just means Eastside Mario's is getting fucking rich off my family. But it's, like, there's so many of those nights that now when I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to a dinner with Max or some random basketball game. Oh, I might go in on this night. She is like, yeah, have a good time. And it's like, I'm always up with the kids anyway. So it's like, it'd be one thing if I came out and partied and then was like, just stayed in the bed all the next day. It's like, I'm, you know, I can do both. What is it David Bowie says? I know when it's time to, what's at the start of modern love. I know when to go out. And I know when to stay home, or something like that. Yeah. I feel like I've gotten that balance somewhat figured out.
Is that what that's about, this situation?
I think that's what, it's off the top. It's like a spoken word thing. And then he gets into sort of, whatever. I don't know. Max covers it. You probably know the lyrics better than
that. Nothing's worse than when you put all your eggs into the wrong basket.
Yes.
And then the real party you're missing out on.
Shane's obsessed with the idea that the real party was the next night.
No, Max, it could have been. So I'm curious. Yeah. Like, obviously, this is a big lead up. Was Friday the better night?
You didn't really miss much. It was a great get together. I can't remember.
Okay,
who was
let's just go yes or no and then elaborate on it. Was Friday the better night than the Thursday dinner we were?
Different nights, because one was like a dinner party that was like a rollicking conversation. And, you know, it was a little bit more focused, I guess. And then when you go to a bar where you're all standing around, people are kind of like hopping around from one thing to another. The party ended up, we were at this new bar called Cherry's High Dive, which is like this cool, kind of like 70s sports themed bar. It's right on Wellington. And it was great. Yeah, but to be honest, I don't even really remember. I can't, it was just like, But
some of the best nights you don't remember.
Stop it.
In general, right? Thursday, you're having a great time. You probably remember our night.
Thursday was the best night, okay? Thursday was the greatest.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Do
Did you find this was the pinnacle of all your birthdays, of you getting your ass kissed the most? Like, are you at that level where you're just like, you almost don't like the ass kissing?
I don't think anybody, I'm surrounding myself with anybody who's kissing my ass, though. I think I'm way beyond that. I think everybody who's hanging out with me is just like, you know, just a good friend, and there's none of that. Do you think any of our friends?
No, it's the typical like that you say to someone on their birthday, like, we're happy you're alive. We're happy you're part of our life. That was the kind of, I think, sentiment, at least on the Thursday. I don't know what Friday was like.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not kissing your ass, but I wonder if people are.
I think the issue is this is a good problem to have, Max, is you have too many friends. You're too charismatic and likable that it's like you have to have multiple parties so that everyone can enjoy themselves.
I do also like making new friends too. I know there's that expression, no new friends, no new friends. I don't like that expression. Yeah. I like making new friends. So I think I've made some new friends over the last couple of years, especially being back in Toronto.
Your friends are always high power friends too.
Not necessarily.
Can like take you in like a jumbo jet or something, you know? Like I would like, I say no new friends too, but if they're taking me on vacation in a jumbo private jet, I'll accept some new friends.
Applications are open.
Slip through the cracks. Yeah.
The barista that's nice to you. Yes. Not a friend, but yeah.
Actually, no. Speaking of baristas though, and my short memory, there's this coffee shop near me, Morning Parade, and the staff is all awesome. And one of the baristas, girl Liv, she went to the same high school as me. And it turned out that when she was in high school, she interviewed me for a project on Toronto indie rock. So like she would have been 16 and I would have been like 26. Mm. And she said she went over
just
to my parents'
house. Just a scathing review.
No. She was like, oh yeah, I interviewed you in your house, at your parents' house on Major Street in Toronto. I was like, what? I don't remember this at all. But yeah, apparently she did. So I have no recollection. Zero recollection.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're not friends with her. You're acquaintances with her.
No, I think we're friends.
You text her?
I don't have her number, but
she had a jumbo jet. I bet that number would be in your phone. That's all I'm saying. She's a person you say hi to get a coffee, maybe for free.
That's good. But speaking
what a time.
Of famous friends, I'm in Los Angeles. And
ooh, with Will Forte. You're hanging
down
with
here
Will.
For a couple. No. A couple of just funny things have happened. So I went out for dinner with our beloved Matt Unsworth and our beloved Tim McAuliffe and his lovely wife, Jess. Fuck, you know what's funny? I don't know if I know Jess's last name. I don't think she took Tim's last name. You know when you save somebody in your phone and you just like, Jess, Tim McAuliffe's wife? Like, I don't know.
Totally. Yes. Never let her see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Jess is the fucking coolest. And we went out. And so Tim is friends with Nathan Fielder, and Tim was with Nathan at a bar when Joe Jonas sent over a pair of cocktails to Nathan Fielder. Did you hear about this?
No.
So
did you?
No. This is the first time.
I think this made the internet because I think Joe Jonas told the story. So basically, Joe Jonas sends a pair of cocktails over to Nathan Fielder and Tim. And then Nathan and Tim have had this routine for a very long time where they'll send over like a little cup of mayonnaise to people instead of a drink. So they just send back mayonnaise to Joe Jonas, and Joe Jonas posted about it. He's like, Nathan Fielder just sent me some mayonnaise to my table. Yeah. But yeah, so we had a
Were you ever hang with Nathan though? Or do you have a Nathan story? Sorry, continue. I don't want to cut you off. This is Zoom.
No.
Continue.
No, I mean, the other reason why I'm in LA is I got to, I was invited to this program called Real Start that I mentioned, I think, on the show before. So Evan Goldberg of Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, started this organization with his friend from university, Adrian. Adrian is a high school teacher or elementary school teacher in Toronto. And the program basically funds movies for teenagers to make. But the kick is that they like get Hollywood talent to help make the movies. So they'll get like a professional sound studio in Hollywood to do the sound of like a 5 or 8 minute short, or they'll get a professional animation studio and they'll help put together the vision that is written and produced by these high school students that are often in underserved neighborhoods. And what's so fucking cool about it, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, where, you know, a lot of those kinds of opportunities would usually be kept for like the buddies of other studio executives. It was like, oh, I'll help you. I'll let you get an internship, or I'll have my buddy help facilitate this project of yours. But you never, but if, unless you're connected to that world or you're rolling in that tier of people, you wouldn't get exposure to it. So it's an amazing program. And I recommend everybody to check it out. Real Start, R-E-E-L Start. But so we got invited down. Evan emailed me, very kind of him, said, asked if I wanted to come down to the LA chapter, the premiere that was happening here yesterday. So that was one of the reasons why Ash and I came down here and had a great hang with Evan. And Seth Rogen was there. Got to chat with Seth a little bit. Do you remember, did I tell you the story about meeting a fitness trainer, Harley Pasternak, at, did I tell you the story on the pod?
Yes.
Yeah.
You told us on the pod. Yeah.
So I mentioned, cause you know, you're always trying to think of something to say to like someone like a famous person like Seth Rogen. So I was like, Seth, I met somebody. He says he was your trainer and that he got you into shape. And he's, his wife is a partner is a Vancouver Jewish person from your neighborhood. He was Harley Pasternak. And so we talked about Harley Pasternak for a bit. And Seth was, very friendly. During the premiere, he was cackling in his Seth Rogen laugh. You know, like the quintessential Seth Rogen laugh.
Of course, it's famous. Of course. Yeah.
So it was really cool. And just as we were leaving, Evan comes up to me and he goes, "Hey, oh, by the way, just want to say your show, it's great. That kiss scene, the kiss on the bench, really funny. Really love that." So
he watched the dessert.
It took everything in me not to ask. And I'm like, I don't even want to know at this point. No answer is the answer. That's amazing.
Yeah.
He watched that.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
So at the very least, he saw the first skit of the first episode. We don't know how much more he's seen, but he was Adrian. God bless Adrian, who's just as cool as it gets and just the best kind of teacher. She had been, I think, seeding the idea to Evan. And so, yeah, so it was cool. So that wow. feels like a cool little win for Team Dessert that Evan watched.
That's amazing.
So that's cool. That means a lot.
Could you text him and ask his thoughts about the vasectomy sketch, perchance?
yeah, I'll send him a long
Mike's
email.
In that sketch, yes. So we've got another little project coming up. Will you send him that project? Or do you think that's too much goodwill to take advantage of? Okay, nice.
No.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I wonder when we can actually talk about that project. I mean, we're fully in production. The deal's signed.
I feel like no one can we talk about it?
I don't know. We might have to announce it properly or something.
Really?
Yeah. Whatever.
Like always news.
You'll be getting something fun in March.
Like a spin-off-y type thing's coming.
If you see us in person anywhere, we will talk about it.
Yes.
You can't get us to shut up about it, but maybe we can't announce it until we have to properly.
You
got to
hang with Nathan Fielder, by the way, Max. You got to figure out how to just hang with him.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure one of these days we'll do it.
Mm-hmm. So what else is cooking in LA? I feel like you always got shit
drinking,
going on.
You guys are ad men. You know, you guys write ads and copy and you're funny.
That's
the
day job, baby.
Have you guys followed Liquid Death? Are you familiar with this?
Yes.
No, I just see it in photo. Like even you drinking it, we felt very like this is the only way I've ever sort of related to it. I've never drank it. I don't know what it is. Is it alcohol?
That's the drink of podcasts. It's just water.
Oh, okay.
It's just water.
And they tried to come out with an Arnold Palmer drink. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. Did you follow that story, which I thought was kind of interesting?
I haven't.
I have, but you say it.
Well, I'm probably going to ruin this, but basically I think Liquid Death tried to do an Arnold Palmer like taste or like a flavor, I should say. And then Arnold Palmer people sued them for it because they said you can't use the name Arnold Palmer. So then they just changed the name of it to Dead Billionaire. instead of calling. and so it's obviously looks like an absurd can, and you're like, what is it? And it, when you open it, it sounds like a carbonated drink, but it's just water. It's called Liquid Death.
And it looks like a beer, so that's kind of cool.
It looks like a beer. But then I started reading the side of it. There's a lot of text on the side, and it kind of reminded me something of you guys, what you guys would write if you're like, let's come up with the most ridiculous copy for something that is simply water. I'll read it to you guys here.
Yeah.
"This infinitely recyclable can of stone cold mountain water came straight from the Alps to murder your thirst. When a group of teenagers set off into the mountains for a weekend of drinking regular water in plastic bottles, they became hunted by an aluminum can of mountain water that was dead set on murdering their thirst and recycling their souls. Once cracked open, no thirst is safe from Liquid Death. After ritually dismembering its thirst victims, this brutal can of water used to severed body parts and dead thirst to build itself a flesh suit, which is used as to disguise to get a job in marketing. Sorry, I'm having a hard time reading this. But Liquid Death never took the job. It just murdered a bunch of more thirsts instead. Hashtag death to plastic. We donate 10% of profits from every can sold to help kill plastic pollution. But isn't that like, have you ever thought?
Hold on a second. Just a question for Shane. Whose copy is that? Like, does that remind you of like verbatim?
Populous?
No.
Who?
I think.
Oh, you're thinking Randall?
100%.
Oh, really?
I think top to bottom, that is the sort of way that Randall would write that. And like, he would think of that concept. Let's put this on the side of the can. And he would really get into sort of the really sort of descriptive.
Would he be that redundant and say thirst that much?
He would tighten it up, I think. I think he would tighten it up. But I think that like, it's very visual. Oh, it personifies the drink. It came to murder. Mm-hmm. It's all this stuff. The skin suit. Like, it's very like visual. And it just reminds me very much of how Randall likes to like build a concept and then really get into writing it and using all those descriptive words.
Yeah.
And setting a scene.
Yeah. I think Randall would do it a little bit better, but yeah. That was still cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit like that's always a great idea. What made you read it though?
Well, I don't know. I was just kind of admiring the absurdity of the can. And then I was like, oh, yeah. There's a lot of texture on the side. It's not ingredients because obviously
I thought for sure it was like an energy drink or like some sort of like mix of like a vodka energy drink. I thought for sure it was one of those types of things.
I think they want to be able to sell it in bars, be like the choice of water that a bar would have, but people can drink it and feel cool. Like they're not just nursing a water. Like
that's the whole appeal of it.
It totally does.
But a good idea. Yeah. Good idea. Props to Liquid Death.
Good
but,
name too.
Yeah. What
I like that.
Yeah.
Name.
Good. I mean, it's so absurd. Like everything about it is over the top. What else is going on, Mike? You got anything for us? I know the last time I heard from you was in the Raptors group chat where it was so fucking funny and so depressing. I almost want to pull up the chat because I live for Mike Veerman's long, like basically the columns that he writes in our basketball group chat. Last night. This was a short one. I was guessing you're watching.
They lost to the Knicks. Yeah, they lost to the
Knicks. Knicks are a bad team this year?
No, Knicks are good, but the Raps are right there. It's like one of those, they lost in the last 2 minutes with bad choices.
They fucking suck.
What did I write?
They fucking suck. Bunch of losers. Every time we see Yak and Crunch Time, it's just shit. The only thing more depressing than this team is the amount of emotional capital I afford them.
Yeah, I was actually watching that game at your bar, so I'd had a few, and I was just
I was gonna say this doesn't sound like a sober text.
No, I was like four of those sweet odds loggers in and half price wings on a Monday night, actually.
There you go.
Yeah.
And
love the odds hang.
How are you feeling though about it all?
Oh, the Raptors, and I'm just, you know, there's like nuanced thoughts. This isn't a basketball podcast, but essentially I'm just like the lack of direction, like of them choosing a lane is we're kind of just hanging around watching this team sort of like not improve and make the same mistakes over and over again. And it's either you kind of want to like move off one of the big three, which are Pascal, OG, you're not going to move Scotty, and then change up the dynamic a bit or get a bunch of picks and sort of start to look at the future. But I think Masai is just kind of hanging around and hoping the team stays around 500. Maybe they get a play-in spot and get one playoff gate, which obviously is very lucrative for MLSE. And then you hope a superstar comes up like Dame Lillard, that situation this summer. He hopes that repeats it. Somebody's always asking out in the NBA. And if he can make another version of the Kawhi trade, that's kind of what he's hanging around. But the problem is for the diehards who watch all 82 regular season games is it's like a very, very uninspiring team. Like the only thing that is sort of worth watching and being invested in is Scotty's development. And Scotty's been awesome this year. Like if they had the right pieces around Scotty, it would be very, very sort of exciting or at least something to look forward to. But yeah, it's just an uninspiring sort of like blah. I wish I hated them more or I wish I loved them more. It's kind of more, it's the worst thing.
Purgatory.
Yeah.
What about Grady Dick? Is there any hope for this guy or what?
Oh yeah. He just turned 20, like literally just turned 20 a month ago.
Any glimmers of hope? Like, have you seen any sparks where you're like, if he could just distill that for the rest of the game, that'd be good. Or is he too nervous?
I think there's been, the thing is his game is very like, he's very active. He's trying to sneak in there and get boards and he's kind of doing it. But when he's in the NBA games or what I've seen of him, the game moves too quick for him. He's turning the ball over. He's leaving his feet to pass, shit like that. And the main thing that's the issue, because those things I do think will come for him, like the game will slow down, is his 3-point shot. We drafted this guy 13th overall over other like players who are contributing on other teams because he was supposed to be this dead eye shooter. And he is not that.
Do they still have like the Grady dickheads in the crowd?
Yeah.
Like this the cardboard the cutouts of his head.
This, this is an interesting marketing question. And I'd like to get your guys, both your thoughts on this. Is it's like we draft Grady. He wears this red sequence suit to the draft. He's kind of a goofball from Kansas. Like everybody, he's kind of like this fun new age
TikToker,
social media star. You got it. So he gets all the commercials. So now this guy doesn't even get minutes. He's not been good in the minutes he gets, but every fucking commercial break, I got to see him in like a giant McDonald's suit, that sequin, red sequence, or I got to see him in a shaving commercial with Gary. So he got all of the ads out of the gate based on his pedigree.
He even got an ad because he's playing terrible. He created an ad for bad play. His mom gives this like weird impassioned speech where she's crying throughout, and it's about like, you might be bad now, but you'll get better and like persevere, even though he hasn't persevered yet. It's like the hope of perseverance.
Maxie, what are your thoughts on, if a high draft pick comes in and you work at an ad agency, do you sign him up and put him in all the spots knowing that he might flop? And it's like, now you got to watch commercials for 6 months with this guy that isn't performing.
Yeah. It feels like the nature of advertising has really changed a lot. And anything that seems like a typical ad is just going to seem really dated and too millennial, and it's not going to cut through to Gen Zs. So I think putting together any game plan period is kind of stupid. Like everything needs to be reactive. And I think any good marketing that cuts through is like the Ryan Reynolds style. Something happened in the culture. We're making an ad in 48 hours and we're putting it online. Obviously, there's some evergreen stuff that can be really good. Actually, speaking of Ryan Reynolds, he put together that really good SickKids ad where it's like, it was a SickKids fundraiser ad. Did you guys see that one with Austin Matthews?
Yeah, appearance? Kids are terrible.
Kids are like, little assholes sort of deal.
Yeah, let them
like
be little assholes.
It's like you wrote it, Max. Yeah.
It's like Max wrote it.
Yeah. but like, okay, so obviously that was planned. But I think especially when it comes to sports, it's like everything just needs to be reacting to the moment, and like you just have to have like a really nimble team that can like execute concepts like pretty quickly. That's my, I don't know, Shane, you're looking at me funny. Yeah. You do not agree?
No, I'm just thinking it's tough to do that because you got to kick it out the door quick, you know?
Yeah.
Like we do a podcast talking about, I don't know, the Oscars or something. And then it's,
by the way, our Oscars podcast for 2022 will be out in a week.
Yes, we're just getting the edit just right. You know, there's a couple points that we needed to kind of sit on.
We're trying to get them out faster. I know you're complaining, but I am thinking of the limitations of the lifespan of an ad. When you are so reactive to something in the moment, it goes stale quick. Even if you kick it out fast, its expiry date is gone so quick. So the juice might not be worth the squeeze.
That is true. I got to hop off here, guys, in a second because I got to go to the thing. But
okay, yeah, we got to go too. It's Mark Meyer's birthday. So
Mark,
we gotta go and celebrate him.
We're going to text him. We're going to have a lunch with him right now. Yeah,
I'm gonna text him right now. Okay, let's end this with saying happy birthday to Mark Myers, who truly is one of the greats in our life. He came to the birthday festivities and love that man so much. So shout out to Mark Myers, director of basically half of the dessert, if not all the dessert, basically every good R. Kelly's music video. And he's the guy you can just throw an assignment at and he'll make it.
Reliable man, amazing. Good friend, excellent athlete.
Wonderful father.
Great father.
Yeah.
He's a husband also. okay. But yeah, that's it. Mike, you end it. We have to run.
I'll end it. Maybe next week we can talk about Leave the World Behind, which is my new favorite movie. So.
Oh, love that movie. Yeah. That was great. You've seen it,
Max? We got to talk about it.
Of course you saw it.
I have.
I know.
Actually, we talked
blown away by it? Yes or no?
Because Sam Ishmael. Okay. What?
Were you blown away by it? Yes or no?
Yeah, I loved it. I have
next
couple,
week, that's the tease.
Bones to pick, but otherwise, yeah. Cool.
Ooh. Good. I can't wait to dig into it. Now I'm looking forward to next week's pod. Hopefully we'll be back in person. Safe flight back from LA. Enjoy your time. Get lots of good stories. Thank you to Nathan Nash. Thank you to Manager Ash. And thank you to all the listeners. As always, this was a great hang. Maybe the best.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.